Tonight on the Mark Wrestling Podcast, we talk AEW Dynasty Fallout, Swerve, the first black AEW World Champion, and what that means for the company. And is Tony Khan finally a made man now that he's been finally attacked in the ring, on camera, and much more on this episode 52.
You're listening to the On the Mark Wrestling Podcast with your hosts, Keyote and Lewis. Let's mark out.
Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome to another episode. Welcome to episode 52, baby. We are back. Lewis, what's going on, brother?
Episode 5-2, brother. And yes. What you gonna do when K-Weezy and the administrator run wild on you?
I love the fact that you just went full Hogan just now. For whatever reason, I don't know, but I was digging it.
I don't know. I mean, ironically, we got a black world champion. I decided to go Hogan. I don't know.
Hogan, black champion. Listen, it goes together, man. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong, man. Well, everybody, welcome to another episode. This is On the Mark Wrestling Podcast, episode 52, coming at y'all from On the Mark Studios, I guess. I don't know what to call this. But yeah. Coming at you full in effect. We are coming off the heels of a hell of an AEW pay-per-view. Dynasty was dope. You know, listen, whatever you could say about AEW from terrible audio production, for some reason this company just can't seem to get their audio straight, Lewis. From bad audio to a hell of a pay-per-view to a hell of a swerve, right? Or not swerve, but a hell of an angle at the end of Dynamite last night. So let's jump right into it. Lewis, anything memorable, which I think I know where you're going to go, anything memorable about the AEW pay-per-view Dynasty that hit us last Sunday, which had a pretty solid card? Anything stick out to you, which I think I know where you're going to go?
Well, on the last episode, we talked about how it was a solid card on paper, and the pay-per-view event itself delivered, my friend.
Yes,
it was very well received by the wrestling community, including journalists and all of that. I personally thought that it was a very entertaining pay-per-view from top to bottom, but okay, so you had some highlights, right? Obviously, in the main event, Swerve winning the big one. Swerve Strickland defeating Samoa Joe and becoming the AEW World Heavyweight Champion. Yes, great moment. I loved it. You know, the match itself was a decent main event, but I think people are just going to remember the moment itself, right? To close out the pay-per-view. Yeah, Willow Nightingale defeating, I was going to say Anna Jay, not Anna Jay.
Oh,
Julia Hart to become TBS champion, which sets up Willow versus Mercedes at Double or Nothing. Yep. But I think, the ladder match. The ladder match was fun. The shocking return of Jack Perry.
We'll
get to Jack Perry and friends a little later on in the episode.
Yes. But
the ladder match was fun. I called it. The Young Bucks were the right people to go over. They are now three-time AEW World Tag Team Champions. But the number one highlight of the show, Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay. What a fucking match.
Yeah.
What a match.
Yeah, let's give it up for them for real.
I mean, seriously, that was match of the year so far for 2024, from what I've seen. And if it's not match of the year, it's like top three. You know what I'm saying? They left it all in the ring. They left it all on the line. Just a tremendous, tremendous stuff. Hard hitting, some great near falls, great sequences. It had everyone on the edge of their seat. The crowd ate every second of it, even chanting, "We're not worthy."
Yeah.
It was absolutely amazing. Yeah. Amazing match. And Will Ospreay once again proves why he is arguably the best wrestler on the planet.
So
what'd you think, Keyote?
I'm with you on that, bro. I thought that match was fantastic. They had the crowd eating at the palm of their hand. The every move, every facial expression, the crowd was in it, into it. That is what also makes a match, in my opinion, right?
Yeah.
You can't have a great match if the crowd is not feeling it, doing chants that I don't even think I heard. I think one chant was, please don't die or please don't get injured. Oh, please don't get injured. There was a please don't get injured chant. So, the match, man, was, Ospreay is proven why every week he should be the man of the guy for this company, which puts Swerve in a very interesting position come August when they will be in London, which will probably be the crown, which should be the crowning moment for your boy Will Ospreay, unless they go somewhere completely different. But what a match, man. What a match. Bryan Danielson is a genius in that ring. He is he's fantastic. And he makes everyone look good. And in this case, he didn't even need to make Ospreay look good. They canceled each other out. That's how good they were. Like it was just pure poetry in that ring. Yeah. And man, I would say I agree with you. Definitely match of the year candidate. Probably best match I've seen in 20. I can't think of another better match in 2024.
That's right? What I'm saying. Unless you count a match or two from Wrestle Kingdom earlier this year, but I didn't watch Wrestle Kingdom. So, I mean, if we're talking North American matches, yeah, Ospreay versus Danielson probably takes the cake for match of the year.
Yeah, definitely takes the cake. I'd agree with that. Overall, the card was solid, man. I love the Jack Perry joint. I love him being in the ring and the way they took off the mask and he's walking in the crowd. there's video of fans got him walking in the crowd with the mask on with some popcorn in his hand randomly. It just worked. Worked. I thought it was solid. I gotta get on Willow a little bit, bro. I gotta get on Willow. Oh man, I gotta take my belt off for this, Louis. Willow. I like Willow. I think she's over.
Yeah,
she's over. Right.
I like Willow too.
I like Willow. I respect Willow. I think Willow is a little green when it comes to in ring mic stuff. Right. On the pay-per-view, the match was okay. Julia Hart just doesn't do it for me. She's not a good wrestler. So it just fell flat for me, and I knew Willow had to go over. The size difference also it just throws you off. Also, it's not believable that Julia could do it, in my opinion. It's just a weird off balance of the sizing in the ring. When the camera's on them, it just looks awkward. It just looks like Willow's going to kill her, right?
Yeah,
it just
looks like Willow's going to kill
her.
I agree.
So with that, this past Wednesday, Willow's on the mic talking to Mercedes, but not talking to Mercedes. She's looking at the camera, but not addressing Mercedes after Mercedes just addressed her, but she's talking into the camera over here. It's like promo 101. Like, what are we doing? It's amateur hour. I just thought it just looked weird. She's got to be more aware of that. I'm not concerned about her in ring. I think she can go, and I think her and Mercedes are going to put on a decent match. I'm afraid though, Mercedes might get booed on this. I already feel the crowd shifting. And dude, and Louis, let me ask you. Does Mercedes really come off as a legit baby face? Like,
no.
She's a heel, bro. Like,
yeah, she's a heel.
She's a natural heel. So I think she's going to get booed. I think it's going to be Vegas, right? I think Vegas is either going to be 50-50 split or majority Willow, and they're going to boo the hell out of Mercedes. And AEW's got to figure out what to do, because I'm going to say this right now. I like Mercedes. I haven't seen Mercedes in a North American ring wrestling in a long time. I wonder if she still got it. I just wonder if this is working so far, because their promos have been pretty mid, like meh, like not that good. It ain't that good. Her promos have been all right, but nothing believable. She sounds like a heel. And then she's also sounding like she's rehearsing constantly. Like, Lewis, she sounds like she, it's nothing natural. The look and the presentation is there. She's like a Jade Cargill. She just can wrestle a little better. The presentation's there. You could sell it. You can market it. But when it comes to certain aspects of the ring stuff, not for, for Mercedes, more so in her promos, it's like, all right, well, that wasn't believable. So those are my biggest takeaways. I don't want to sleep on the Okada and Pac match. I thought that was a good match to open.
Yeah, that was very good. Very good.
You know, Pac is fantastic. I mean, fantastic. And I'm trying to think, you know what other match I did enjoy? I thought the three man match, it was Adam Copeland.
That was good. Copeland, Mark Briscoe, and who was the third person?
Eddie Kingston.
Eddie Kingston, that's who it was. Against House of Black.
Versus House of Black. I thought that match was pretty good.
And Copeland versus Malakai, that should be good.
That should be good.
TNT title.
That should be good. So yeah, man. Dynasty, those are my takeaways from Dynasty. I thought it was overall top to bottom solid pay-per-view again. AEW, they let us down 1 week by doing something crazy for ratings pop. And then the next week they give us a pay-per-view that crowns the first black champion who's over and just delivers overall with a classic between Danielson and Ospreay. So, you know, AEW is just what it is. That's, you know, I've come to just take it on the chin that AEW is just what it is. We'll love and hate it.
And I'm glad that you said that, because you would think after putting on one of the best pay-per-views that they've had, and I mean, that's not saying much, because all their pay-per-views are really rock solid, but you would think that they would have a great rating.
Yeah.
So the viewership numbers were released.
Oh, and let's hear it. The administrator got the numbers.
Not good.
Oh, man.
It's actually damn near abysmal.
What?
Yes, they did their lowest TV rating since January 2021.
Whoa.
Since, like, pandemic.
Whoa.
Now, I do got to say, I'm going to give the disclaimer that there was a lot of sports competition. You know, we're in the midst of NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. So there's that. Okay. However, that should not be an excuse to do under 700,000 viewers. They did 683, I think.
For it was. Dynamite?
Yes. It was like 680,000 and change.
Whoa.
Yes. And this is the fallout of Dynamite.
That's
even with a match of the year candidate, with Swerve becoming the champion, with Jack Perry making his surprise return.
Wow.
Even with all of that.
And plus the Tony Khan hook. That whole thing. You pull in 680. That's abysmal. You're right. You're right, my brother. That's the word of the day from the administrator. Abysmal. Abysmal. That is. Wow.
And it wasn't like, well, I also was reading that it aired live on the West Coast, and that may have had some effect on viewership. But even so, bro, I could understand if it did 780, right? Or 801, but 683 or whatever it was, that's pretty low, man. That's pretty low for a post pay-per-view Dynamite. Yeah, especially considering how eventful it was. I don't know, man. And I'm going to go back to what you just mentioned. AEW is what it is at this point, right? Yeah. Like, you're going to enjoy it for what it is. I don't think we're ever going to get AEW back to the way it used to be circa 2021, 2022, when they were, like, killing it every week with the viewership. A million and change each week.
Yeah.
Or 900,000 at the very lowest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Yeah, I don't think we're getting that. And I think a lot of that has to do with Tony Khan has damaged the perception of this company for idiotic decisions.
True.
Following the brawl out from All Out from, you know, 2022. And then ever since then, the company has just not recovered. They have not recovered. And then you got the debacle with Punk and Jack Perry from last summer at All In.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like one thing after another. And my theory is that fans have been turned off. I've been getting turned off little by little with them constantly taking jabs at WWE, referencing WWE. It just comes across as desperate and amateurish in some aspects.
Yeah, it's Bush League. You know? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's Bush League. That's the perfect way to describe it. And I think some fans interpret it that way. So they're like, I'm kind of checked out of it.
You're not going to hear and see WWE do any of that, man, because they don't need to.
Right? Yeah, there's no competition for WWE, though.
And to be fair, AEW doesn't need to either. Like,
they don't
need to name drop. They don't need to make Punk a bigger star than he already is by airing that footage and having him be the talking piece. Like you don't need that. You don't need that. It's just bad leadership on Tony's part. Like, it's just bad decisions. And I don't think he has anybody in his ear to kind of guide him, which your boy probably does need some guidance.
But we've been saying that for like the past year and a half, Kyoto.
Yeah, we have.
Like, how long does it take for you to get a good wingman under your belt?
He definitely needs a wingman. He definitely needs a wingman. I just don't know if that wingman is in the company right now. Like, I don't know if any of them are capable to give the leadership and the guidance that Tony will need, and respect. That's another one. Will he respect the advice he's getting from some of these people? That's another thing, right? Which I don't think he will. I think if Tony has something in his head, I think Tony runs with it. That's the kind of guy I get.
Probably. And it is inexcusable, the audio issues that Dynamite had. God. Like, Dynamite, a lot of that stuff was inaudible. You heard really bad echoes every time someone either cut a promo backstage or in the ring. Because, you know, Jack, Daly's Place? It's Daly's open place. Air.
Yeah.
But that stuff should be figured out. So apparently today, I think Tony Khan had posted it, that TBS was to blame.
I heard that.
I don't know the details behind that. I don't know where they messed that up logistically, but somebody messed up, and that's inexcusable for primetime live television, and you want to be perceived as
big league.
Yeah, like big league, you know what I mean? Like, you're the alternative to the biggest pro wrestling company in the world, which is WWE. If you are the alternative, you don't want to come across as an indie company. Right. You know, I can excuse TNA for something like that, right, but not AEW, right, man. Like, Tony Khan has too much money and too much tools in his toolbox, if you will.
Well, Louis, let's just clear something up. Have you ever heard those type of audio issues watching an NBA game on TNT or TBS?
No.
No. So I don't
know. Not that I can recall.
So I don't know if we could blame TNT or TBS for any of this, right? The NBA is on right now. I don't hear nothing. I hear clear sound, audible sound. That was embarrassing for the entire show, though. Really? I couldn't hear anything. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, listen, Louis, our audio messes up sometimes, right? Like, our audio don't sound super crisp. Back in the day when we were first starting out, our audio was not good.
Right.
AEW shouldn't be having the same issues you and I have. Like,
yeah, we're not a multi-million or multi-billion dollar company. No, we're just two people. All. We're just two dudes doing this for fun.
Yeah.
So I think whoever's listening can forgive us for any audio issues.
Exactly. So AEW, what's your excuse? Like, what's your excuse? Like, you just, it's stuff like that where you would never see that or hear that or experience that in a WWE realm, right? Now, it is live TV.
Right.
I know stuff happens, but not for the whole show, though. Like, every backstage interview. Dude, Serena Deeb came out.
You couldn't hear anything. My God.
And I was like, oh, Serena Deeb. She looked good. I liked the little, the video thing, the video wall she had.
It looked
like a new Serena Deeb. She was talking about the title, and I couldn't hear a word she was saying. I heard nothing.
I was really trying to make out what she was saying, and I'm like, yo, this is bad. Like, if you're going to talk into the camera, at least ensure that your live mic is on or something, you know?
Yeah.
And I want to go back to what you mentioned earlier in the episode about the Willow and Mercedes segment.
Yes.
So it's already bad enough that Willow is talking to the camera while Mercedes is in the ring with her, and she's seemingly addressing Mercedes but keeps on acknowledging the camera like she's breaking the fourth wall or something, right?
Oh, Lord.
But on top of all that, the echoes from the mic and the audio issues made it even worse. And like the segment was okay, you know, it was decent, but
right.
I'm like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
I'm trying to give AEW all the grace in the world, but at some point you gotta stop making excuses, right?
Let me ask you something, Will Lewis. Do you think these wrestlers, like a Mercedes, like a Malakai Black, a Samoa Joe, an Adam Copeland, the people who have come from WWE and that machine, do you think they come to AEW and like, what is this bullshit? What is going on? Do you think they respect the hustle that they're building a wrestling company? Do you think they're patient? Where do you, where do you think Mercedes' mind is after joining AEW? Do you think she's enjoying herself out of the few weeks we've seen her?
Well, it's way too early to say.
Too early, right?
Because, okay. Yeah, she's only been in the company for a month. And she's got like a 3-year deal or something like that.
She's going to be there a while.
Yeah, we'll know how happy she is towards the end of her contract. You know, whether she decides to resign or go back to WWE. Mm-hmm. But I think Mercedes is content for now because, first of all, she got a really huge paycheck out of it.
Big time.
You know, so she secured the bag on that one. And then secondly, she hasn't wrestled a single match. She's not busting her ass, killing herself, traveling all over the country. You know,
and she can work anywhere else she wants, right?
Right, right. She has that autonomy. And I think that peace of mind is everything. Mm. I think when these wrestlers come to AEW, they can forgive all of the production issues and all of that because they're getting paid well for less work.
Right.
You know what I mean? In WWE, you're like, you almost have to be made out of ironclad, Teflon, all that. You know, you got to be pretty much bulletproof because it's a tough, tough grind to go from Tacoma, Washington on Monday to the next city on Wednesday. And then on Saturday, you're going to another city and then you might go to another city on Sunday. Like, that's really, really difficult. Whereas AEW, unless there's a pay-per-view event on the weekend, you're only doing Dynamite.
Right.
Or Collision. That's it.
That's it, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm getting paid really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who cares about production issues for 1 week?
Yeah. And Mercedes got that bag too. So for her to be doing pretty much half the work for that much, there's nothing good. I don't know what you're complaining about. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. It's not the worst thing in the world.
But I want to shift gears a little bit, Lewis. Let's shift gears. So last night on Dynamite, we got an interesting Dynamite. Number one, your boy Swerve, the new world champion, the first ever black champion of this company.
Yes.
Is not the person who opens the show. We didn't see Swerve till, this was time stamped by another podcast. We didn't see Swerve till 8:09 p.m. 8:09.
Oh, was it really that late?
Yeah. For a match with Fletcher. Like, why?
I know they waited 10 minutes because the opening segment was that Orange Cassidy and Trent.
They had Orange and Trent open for 9 minutes.
And they weren't even...
Not your world champ?
Yeah, they weren't even on the card.
Lewis, I got a lot. I did not like the way it was booked. And I hope this is a one-off mistake or one-off, like, not mistake, but a one-off, like, we see what you guys are talking about. We could have done better. I hope it's that rather than this is what you think you should have done with your first world black first black world heavyweight champion. Like, that's a no-go. That's not good. I was not liking it. And to put him in a match with a guy like Fletcher can go, but who cares about it? Like, I don't like.
It's true. It's cares? True. Fletcher's a great worker, but you haven't built him up enough.
No,
you
know? No. Like, and then Fletcher had. It almost seemed like Fletcher was hard for Swerve to beat. In some case, like Fletcher was giving him the business and like taking him to the limit, and it just felt weird. Like, it just felt off. It just felt like it was just bad decision making. Like, why would you think that's a smart thing? But now they're going to make up for it on Collision. Swerve will speak on Collision for those who watch Collision. for how many people? I don't know how many people watch this clip.
Right. You make a good point. For those of you who actually tune into Collision, because I don't.
Yeah. So what do you think, Lewis? What happened, man? Did they drop the ball? Are we thinking too much into this? Are we thinking too much?
We might be. Okay. I do agree that he should have had confetti, pyro, and he should have. You know, he should have been thanking the crowd because it's a crowning achievement for his career. It's a crowning achievement for the African-American community, so on and so forth. So, yeah, like, I wouldn't have even booked him in a match. You literally could have had him just cut a 6 to 7 minute promo and then just, like, I'm here. I'm here now. It's Swerve's time. Bring on all challengers, and I'm ready for double or nothing. So... Tony Khan, if you want to book a tournament, if you want to book a battle royal, I will face anybody and put this title up on the line against anybody. That you know, generally speaking, that's how it should have gone.
Yeah.
But instead, he's in a world title eliminator match, aka a non-title match, against, again, someone who hasn't been given a lot of character development, but has always been booked to be this tough son of a bitch that kicks out of everything. That's how Kyle Fletcher's been booked.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it's very weird. And now you're going to follow it up on Collision on Saturday night on Collision.
On Collision. Collision got what? 400 and so thousand?
Maybe which I'm not knocking because they've been consistently pulling in.
Right.
You know, 400,000, and that's good for a Saturday night,
8 p.m. Yeah, that's good.
That's pretty good. But he's your world champion. You know, if you're gonna have a follow up interview, you should have announced. You should have had the fans wait a week. You should have. I don't know, and it's just boneheaded shit like this.
Yeah, man.
Why AEW is losing goodwill with the fans? You know. Mm-hmm.
I agree, man.
That's just really dumb shit, man. Just dumb booking.
Not a good look. Let's see what Swerve says on Saturday for whoever watches it. I might find a clip. I can't guarantee Saturdays anymore. So we'll see what Swerve says to make up the travesty that was not your boy coming out and opening up the show at least. But I want to get to the meat and potatoes, the big hook. So the end of Dynamite ended extremely well, Lewis. But I did have some. I thought it was good, but I think there was some holes in the story, in the bigger story.
Yeah.
And I thought some of the acting was atrocious. another key word, atrocious, by your boy Tony Khan, who is probably one of the worst on camera authority figures in life and kayfabe and story, just overall, just a horrible. He's so bad that they didn't even have him speak on the mic. They just had him doing stupid thumbs ups and Like, hey, look, like, come on, man. Come on,
bro.
Man. Break it down, Lewis. Break it down.
He's so bad that he makes John Laurinaitis and the whole people power thing look like Emmy material. People, remember that?
He makes PTSD.
I know. He makes that look like Emmy award winning material. Seriously.
That people power?
That shit was
some
horrible.
Of the worst wrestling. Not even, it wasn't even wrestling. Just
that's,
some of the
that's
worst
sports
stuff.
Sports entertainment.
I've ever seen and sat through, bro. Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah,
man.
that was whack. But in any case.
Yeah, please. Talk about something.
I apologize for conjuring up those horrible memories.
Oh my God.
That was not a good time for WWE.
No.
But I thought the segment went well considering it's Tony Khan, but Tony Khan needs to stop acting. He is just, it's like you said, he is not a natural, he doesn't have a natural TV presence.
Zero.
Vince McMahon. Natural TV presence. Stephanie McMahon, natural TV presence. Shane McMahon, like the whole entire, with the exception of Linda, but Shane, natural TV presence. Paul Heyman.
Right.
I could go down to Eric Bischoff even. Eric Bischoff. You know what I mean? Yeah. Tony Khan is not it. Khan is not it as a TV authority figure. He needs to delegate that to someone who can actually make an angle look somewhat believable. It just doesn't come across as believable with Tony Khan. And then after he took the, I forget what they call the pile driver.
The Dave Meltzer driver. They some called
the Meltzer driver.
Yeah. The Meltzer driver. Yeah.
Or yeah. Yeah. He's just laying there like,
like,
dude, he's worse than fucking Dixie Carter when she was an authority figure. I think Tony Khan is the worst. I think he's the worst, bro.
So Jack Perry punches him in the stomach.
That was funny.
But Tony just falls to the ground and then reacts to the punches. So he falls down and does a oh. And then I'm like Tony, did you forget to act to react to the punch in the stomach? Like, come
yo.
On, bro. Like, Tony, you watch wrestling all your life. You know how this works. Come on, bro. You've seen some of the best sellers in the company. You got some of the best sellers in the company. And you mean to tell me that's the best you could do, Tony? Like, I'm getting on his acting. The acting was trash. But I loved the angle. I liked
I love the angle, too. Like, they legit looked like badasses.
I like this new formation of the Elite. Your boy Jack Perry is getting cheers. Scapegoat.
Yeah.
I mean, he's getting, like...
And then Okada as, like, the silent but deadly bodyguard assassin. Like, he's the muscle of the group.
It.
And it works for Okada because you just look at him and he oozes charisma. Mm-hmm. Okada is one of those rare pro wrestlers that doesn't need to speak the English language in order for him to be over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's
a good point.
And he's in the right setting because someone like Kazuchika Okada would not work in WWE. Or at least not to the extent that you want him to. Like, you watch all his New Japan stuff, he is a bona fide star. Right?
Mm-hmm.
In AEW, he still comes across the same way. And he's not really talking. You know what I'm saying? He just a natural charisma.
Yeah, I agree. So and that's interesting
the treatment that the Elite is getting right now with the way they beat down Tony Khan and how they just come across as like evil. You know what I mean? This is what they should have been doing with Undisputed Kingdom.
Good point.
Because Undisputed Kingdom does not come across as badasses at all.
You know what I mean? I think I'm going to give them a second chance, Undisputed Kingdom, and I'll tell you
why. Because Adam Cole, so Professor X is walking now?
Because Professor X is out of the chair. Now this is where we judge. Let's be fair. I'm going to give them.
Okay.
All of them are healthy. All of them are in the ring. I'm going to give them this chance. I'm going to give them like 3 to 4 weeks tops to see what they do.
You're generous.
Because now Adam Cole is walking. I think this might be a little different. They're already giving us a little tidbits with the way Cole was looking at Wardlow there was camera angles where Cole's face was giving him the grill and Wardlow didn't see it. and that sort of thing. So I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to give him one more try. But listen, man, Tony Khan is now a made man. He's now an authority figure that has been attacked in the ring. He's now in that upper echelon of people who have been through that. And now I think we could call him legit. Like, people were like, listen, I can't get with you being a legit booker if you've never been attacked in the ring. I just can't. It's been 5 years, Tony. You haven't gotten touched. Like, you're going to get touched tonight. You're going to get touched.
Yeah,
I was digging it. I thought it was good. I thought it was good. There's some holes in the story, too many to name. Yeah. But I'm liking the direction. I'm liking this EVP joint. I like the silent assassin with Okada, and I like the scapegoat, man. Jack's got to really hone in on a heel persona that not only is booed, but also slightly cheered. Like, people actually are rooting for you, like that sort of thing. Not a complete not a complete Dominic Mysterio booing out the arena. I mean, like, a boo like he's a menacing, sneaky, conniving bad guy. So let's see what they do with it. It just started. We're going to see what happens. But I'm interested. But before we end, Lewis, we got to go back to Monday. We crowned a new women's champion. And that woman is Becky Lynch. Was that Monday?
Wait, Becky Lynch works for AEW now?
No, not for AEW. No.
It's AEW Monday Night Raw.
I switched companies without telling you. Switch company. I wanted to talk about WWE crowning the girl Becky Lynch.
That was big. That was big because I had my money on Nia.
Yeah,
I had my money on Nia. I think Nia's doing the best work of her career. I'm going to give credit where credit is due. I was never really a big Nia Jax fan, but she's winning me over gradually, like week by week with her promo work.
Yeah.
She looks great. She's lost a lot of weight. And just like I mentioned on the last episode, like in previous years, she didn't look like in ring type fit. Yeah. But now her size, it looks like she can move around the ring, and it doesn't look out of shape anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I thought they were gonna give it to her. I was like, maybe they want to go with another strong heel champion, but I guess not. They went with Becky Lynch.
A lot of people were calling for Liv.
That's another thing too. Gonna be very interesting to see what they do going forward. I mean, I'm not mad at the Becky Lynch win. I'm thinking who her opponents are gonna be and when does she drop the title? Because she's obviously not gonna. I don't think it's gonna be a super long term reign, or is it?
You don't think so?
You think she holds it till like SummerSlam?
Maybe. What, are we going into May, June, July?
Oh, you know what? Maybe.
Yeah, I think she holds it up until SummerSlam. And wow. I think she drops it at SummerSlam. And if Nia's still on a hot streak, it's going to be to Nia. If not, it's going to be the Liv. It's going to be the Liv. It's going to be one of those. Because I think this injury with Rhea got her out for about 6 months or so. So
6 months?
Yeah, I think it's a lengthy injury. And the way Charlotte's been looking on social media, she's been training, she's been making special appearances. I think she might be actually cleared sooner than we think. I think Charlotte returns very soon.
Maybe the draft.
And maybe it's Charlotte and Becky at some. Listen, I have three women on the radar: Charlotte, Nia, and Liv for SummerSlam with Becky. I can't think of anybody else. I can't think of anybody else. So we'll see.
Neither can I. I can't really think of anyone else. But real quick, you see what they're doing with Liv and Dominic, right?
I'm digging it.
I'm digging it too. So they're planting seeds. So
they got.
I don't know.
I don't want them to make it cheesy, like after school special boyfriend girlfriend. No. You got to make it like a. almost teetering on like TV 14, like they're interested, they're flirting. She's like showing up places he's at. Like, I want it to be very story driven. That gradually leads us to a possible Dominic turning on Rhea, which then turns Rhea babyface. Maybe that could be the babyface turn.
Yeah.
That could possibly happen where Dominic turns his back on mommy and goes with Liv. I like that. My man's
about to find a new mommy.
He's about to get a new mommy for real. Lewis, anything else, man? Anything else we need to?
Nah, man. For all the listeners, you know, I posted this question on a recent post on the Instagram page, which is, has this been the hottest April that we've ever experienced as pro wrestling fans? Because it's just been like newsworthy stuff after newsworthy stuff, from matches to angles to returns to appearances to injuries. Like, this month has been buzzing, and we haven't even gotten to the draft yet.
Right. Yeah.
Like, by the time we get to the next episode, we'll be covering the fallout from the draft. And I'm like, holy shit, what a month, bro. What a month.
Hell of a month to be a wrestling fan.
We're blessed. That's all I can say. I'm just blessed as a wrestling fan. I'm blessed.
Yeah. I don't want this to ever end, Lewis, because we are getting something special, both good and bad. We're getting something special on all this. And even TNA is creeping up. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Even TNA, man.
Some good stuff happening on TNA.
I just wish they were on, like, some channel I could find, bro. Like, I wish there was somewhere I could find them. Like,
you mean you can't find Destination America?
Destination America,
on?
Yeah.
For God's sakes, Keyote, what network are they on, man?
What channel is that? 2048? Like, what channel?
Are they on Access TV? Like, who's their...
Lewis.
Like, what network are they? I'm going to have to Google it because I don't know what network they're on.
I'd lose... if you bet me $100 right now to give you the name, I'd lose $100. I couldn't tell you.
Good Lord Almighty.
I couldn't tell you, Lewis, and it's a damn shame.
I'm gonna have to look that up
because I've watched a couple of TNA TV shows and I was entertained. I was like, yo, this is not bad.
Yeah,
this is not bad. You know, and they're the perfect size for what they do, I think. And there's rumors Tessa Blanchard's going back.
I read that. Yeah.
Can you imagine? Oh man, that'll be a hell of a pickup for AEW. But I think that's too much right now. They got to work with getting Monet in the right position.
Yeah.
You ain't paying all this money for her to be mid card. Like, no.
Nah.
You either got to get cheered or going to get booed, and we're going to make you the hottest thing in this company. So we're going to do one of them. We'll see, brah. But listen, this has been episode 52. Thank you for joining us on the Mark Wrestling Podcast. Catch us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Apple Podcast, Amazon Podcast or Amazon Music, Spotify. Just look for us, man, on DA, the Mark Wrestling Podcast. Find us. We're on YouTube now making these videos, y'all, bringing the audio to video to y'all. So support us, man. Until next time, Lewis, it's been a pleasure, my brother.
It's been a pleasure. Take care, everybody. Peace.
You've been listening to the On the Mark Wrestling Podcast, a scriptly adapted production. Follow us on Instagram and YouTube at On the Mark Wrestling and email us at onthemarkpodcast@gmail.com.